Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Good morning, everyone. How are we this morning? We good? You may take your seats this beautiful Sunday morning. Now, at Pneuma South, we are actually in a five-week preaching series all about who we are as Pneuma South, as a house and as a people. And there's some distinctives about us at Pneuma South that we really feel like the Holy Spirit has impressed upon us about who we are and who we're also continuing to grow and to become. And so we believe that the Holy Spirit says that we are a family united as a house of prayer in pursuing God's presence. Let's all read it out one more time. We are a family united as a house of prayer in pursuing God's presence. That is who we are, and that's who we're continuing to grow and become into. And so over the last 3 weeks, we have heard about each of these key distinctives about us. So in week one, we had Pastor Steve unpacking all things family, about how as we come together around Jesus and the cross and bring our needs together, there is multiplication that happens. Then we had Alison preach up a storm. She took us on a journey from the Old Testament to the New Testament about how God's heart and desire was to have his house, his people to be temples as houses of prayer. And she did it in style with many wonderful glasses. And then we had James Moody brilliantly teach us and unpack all things about unity, how unity actually starts with God in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and how it flows and we're invited into their unity, and that flows through us through impression, maturation, and expression, which was amazing. And so today, in week four, I'm going to be speaking to you on the topic of pursuing God. Pursuing God. Now, every year at the start of the year, I generally go to the doctors for a general health checkup. And this year, my doctor proactively invited me to do something I've never done before. She actually invited me to do a heart health check. A heart health check. Now, my initial thoughts were, I'm too young for that. I'm not that old. And then the revelation hit me that I'm no longer 21. And that revelation keeps hitting me every day. Can anyone relate to that? Now, she explained that doing a heart health check is important, even at my age, because it's important to assess the potential risks of heart attack or stroke, even at my age. And they do this by checking various biomarkers within the body. Things like your blood sugar levels, things like an ECG scan, things like going through your lifestyle and your daily habits to assess how things are going within. Now, who knows, it's important to know what's happening within us. There can be issues within you, within us, that may be hiding there that we may not know about. And so health checks help to identify things early so things can be prevented before things get too late. And so if that is so vital and important in the physical, how much more in the spiritual? And so today, I really feel that the great physician of heaven, our Father God, is inviting us into his own clinic room, his own private practice, to carry out a spiritual health check of our very own hearts. Not just to reveal their true condition, but also to restore and awaken them once again. So are you guys ready to step into that? So let's pray. Let's close our eyes. Father, in your holy presence, Lord, we pray that you search us, and Lord, that you know our hearts. Try me and test our thoughts. See if there be any grievous ways within us, God. Lead us in the ways everlasting, God. Holy Spirit, I ask for your spirit of wisdom and revelation. Lord, come reveal the things within us that we do not know about. Lord, come awaken our hearts afresh today, back to you, Father. Awaken our dry and weary hearts. That is our prayer today. In Jesus' name, we all say, amen. Amen. So let's turn to the Word of God. Who's got their Bibles with them? Let's open up the Word of God to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 6. Now, who knows, the Word of God is the greatest diagnostic tool in heaven and in earth. It is alive. It is active. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It actually penetrates and divides between soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It reveals the true intentions and thoughts of our hearts. And so, let's read together Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words that I command to you shall be on your heart. Let's read it all together one more time. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words that I command to you today shall be on your heart. Here we see Moses actually speaking to the people of Israel near the end of their 40 years of wandering in the desert. God had miraculously saved them from slavery and bondage in Egypt and saved them and brought them into freedom. But they had been wandering for 40 years. 40 years wandering. And Moses was speaking to actually a new generation of Israelites. Over those 40 years, one of the generations had passed away and the new had come. And Moses was calling the people back into covenant and calling them back into action, calling them to be faithful to their God. And we see in the scriptures, we see immediately that there's one way that the Lord wants to be pursued. And that way is with love. He wants to be pursued with love. This is the first and greatest commandment. Jesus affirmed this in Matthew 22. We all know that love makes the world go around. People will do anything for love. They will climb the highest mountains. They will go through the deepest valleys just for love. And if that is us as humans, how much more God himself? Often we can forget that God too is a person. He has a heart. And the greatest thing that he desires from you, he desires from us, is love. That is the greatest thing he is after. God is actually, did you know that God actually is love? That's who he is. Now, we as humans are made in his image, and we have the capacity to love, to give and to receive love. But God himself, he's unlike us. He's so set apart that he himself is love itself. And so if you and I have such a yearning and desire for love, then how much more God, who is love himself? And so the greatest thing that we can do in our entire lives is to pursue God with love. And there are three key things and three key aspects of pursuing God with love that we need to know. And the first thing is that it has to be wholehearted. Verse 5 tells us to love the Lord your God with all your soul and all your strength. Love requires and demands everything. It desires every part of you. Now, over the last 2 years, I've had the privilege of seeing three of my best friends, my closest friends, get married, which has been awesome. And at their weddings, and at every other wedding I've been to, or you've been to, there are certain vows that I have never, ever heard be said. Some of those vows include, I will love you only for the first 10 years of our marriage. And then after that, I am done. Or have you heard, I will give you half of my heart, and I will keep the other half for someone else. And you especially will not hear, I don't really love you. I just like your money and want your money. We laugh, but would you ever marry someone like that? Would you even date or consider dating someone like that? Why? You want every part of that person. Love demands everything. And so if we as humans have that expectation for love, how much more God himself, who is love? And this is why God asks us to give him our entire life. Let's go to Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Matthew 16, verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. This is not just the cost of discipleship. This is actually the cost of love. And we get to choose, you get to choose how much of yourself and how much of your life you actually give to God. He has given us all free will. He's given us all choice. And love requires free will and choice to operate. We get to choose. So the question we need to ask ourselves is, does God have your entire heart? Does he have your entire life? And what are you holding back from him? And secondly, we also see that God wants to be pursued exclusively and in obedience. So just earlier in Deuteronomy chapter 5, Moses actually reiterates the Ten Commandments to the Israelites, to the new generation. And God makes it very clear in the first two commandments that you shall have no other God beside me. And you shall not make any graven images and worship them. God wanted to be pursued by them exclusively. He wanted them to pursue him as their priority. And while they started well, little by little, over time, the people of Israel slowly drifted away from God. They were influenced by the society, the nations, and the idols and gods around them. Slowly their affections and desires moved away from the one true God. They had already pledged their love and commitment, just like a marriage ceremony, just like a vow to God. And here they were drifting away. How do you think God would feel? How would you feel if someone did that to you in your own heart, in your own life? But the Israelites didn't just pursue other gods and other idols. They also started to disobey what God actually asked them to do. Have you ever heard a couple fighting? And someone says, "Why didn't you just listen to me? Why didn't you just do what I told you to? And none of these issues would have happened." Have you heard that before? Don't look at your spouse. God wants to be pursued by your obedience to his word. 1 John chapter 14, verse 15. Jesus says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." To Jesus, his love language was actually obedience. Can you see for God how love and obedience goes hand in hand? And often, we, like the Israelites, we can get stuck in sin. We can turn our attention away from God and follow and pursue other things. We may not call them gods, but in our own hearts, they take the place of God. And often we can keep it hidden. We can justify the sin and disobedience. But God knows all things. He sees everything. We are all exposed to Him. We will all give account to Him. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 to 5. It says, "And we know that we have come to know Him if we obey His commandments. Whoever says, 'I know Him,' but does not obey His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever obeys Him, His love is truly perfected. In this way, we know that we are in Him." Obedience is not just following some rules and regulations like religion, but it's about cultivating a heart that is receptive to God's guidance and instruction. To His guidance and instruction. So what areas of your life do you actually prioritize above God? What areas of sin within you stops you from pursuing and loving God the way that He wants? Are we willing to lay them down to pursue Him only? And the third way in which we pursue God with love is to know Him intimately. God wants to be pursued and known by you intimately. One of the greatest joys in life is getting to know someone. And getting to know them well beyond the superficial, to going deeper with them. A few weeks ago, one of my uncles came all the way from Canada to visit us, one of Dad's brothers. And I've only met him once before, about 12 years ago, but this time he actually came and stayed with us. And one of the joys was actually getting to know him, to spending quality time with him. And it was so funny. I could, by spending time with him, even just a couple of days, I got to see so many characteristics within him that were just like my dad, but also like me too. And they weren't always great. But the reason that I got to know that was because he actually made the effort to come down and spend time with us. We dedicated time with him. We spent time chatting. We spent time going on road trips to Half Moon Bay. We ate lots of great food together. He loved it, and so did we. And so connection is so important for God too. Have you ever heard people say, "I could spend all eternity getting to know you"? All eternity getting to know you. And it's kind of true. Like every day when you get to know someone, you get to see a different side of them. You get to know them in a new way. It's what almost every honeymooning couple says about each other. Am I right or am I right? And so in John chapter 17, verse 3, Jesus actually says, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God." If we can spend a very long time, maybe all eternity, just to getting to know someone, the person next to you, how much more getting to know God? It really will take all eternity. God is outside of time. He's outside of space. He's outside of matter. There's so much of him that we do not know, that you do not know. And he wants you to pursue him so you know him. And not just know him superficially, but intimately. God has made himself known to us. He's made himself available to us anywhere and anytime. Even Telstra does not have that kind of coverage. And there are key ways in which we can get to know him. Actually spending time with him in a secret place alone. In that place of prayer, in that place of intimacy where we don't just speak to him, we listen for his voice. Give him space to speak back to us. Develop conversation with him. We can also spend time in his word. Our daily bread. Where he has given us and shared and written down his heart to us. But it all takes effort. It actually all takes some time. And it's all a choice. And so the question we need to ask ourselves today is, do you know him? Are you prioritizing getting to know him? Truly for yourself? Or do you just know about him? Secondhand through the revelation of God through other people. God wants you to know him for yourself. He desires a personal, very real, intimate relationship with you. That is his heart's desire. That is what he wants. And as we come to a close, where is your heart at today? Where is your heart at today? Are you pursuing God in the way he wants? The way he yearns, the way he desires? Are you pursuing him with love, with every part of your heart, with every part of your being? Or are you holding things back? Are you pursuing him exclusively and prioritizing him above everyone else and anything else? Are you walking in obedience to his word and his heart for your life? Or are there things you are tolerating, sin you are tolerating, and it continues to take over? And are you pursuing him so intimately? Spending time just to get to know him? with no strings attached. So where is your heart today, Numa South? What are the results of your spiritual heart check? In every area where we may fall short, and we do, the good news is that God actually has it covered. God actually has it covered. If you are lacking in love and desire and passion to pursue God, He can reawaken your heart today. If you have been struggling and pursuing other things, other people, everything but God, He can change your heart today. If you've been struggling with sin, He's the one who can forgive, but He can also empower you to overcome so you can love Him in obedience. And where we may not know Him fully, the Spirit of wisdom and revelation can open up our eyes and hearts to know Him more once again. God says in James chapter 4, verse 8, if you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. I'd love to invite the team up, the worship team. Where is your heart today? Just like Moses speaking to the new generation of Israelites, God is actually speaking to us today. He's calling you individually. He's calling you, us corporately, to pursue Him again. He doesn't want a part of you. He wants all of you. He wants your full life. He wants all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. Let us close our eyes in His presence. Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Numa South. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. God is calling each one of us, all of us, to recommit to Him today. We know the areas where we may fall short, but He wants us to draw near to Him. Come close to Him. He will never reject you. He comes even closer every step you take towards Him.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.